what a woman is doing, what a Kodesh Baruch Hu had basically set up for a woman to do, and children and men, but really the woman is the real responsible one in this case. So it made me thinking about the house and the household and the family and what that means in terms of faith. So it reminded me of a B'nai Sefkar that says that the three masas of Pesach represent the Abba, the three Abba. And the four kosos, have you heard this, represent the four Imahara? So there's this focus, and there's a constant focus on four. But one aspect of the four kosos, the four Imahara, is that it's the Emunah of women, that brought us out of Mitzrayim. But this Emunah of the women of Mitzrayim started from the four imahos, the original four imahos, and their strength, and their purity, and their Emunah, and whatever they gave over to their children, physically, emotionally, spiritually, fleshly, whatever they gave over, and that was carried down through the generation all the way to the women of Mitzrayim. So the ability to withstand and have the Emunah through the darkness of Mitzrayim and remain strong came literally from these four imahos. Now then we have the women, the women in Mitzrayim, they themselves, there's so many stories about the women in Mitzrayim, how they stayed strong, pure, through the whole situation of Mitzrayim. So women in general, for example, they kept having children despite the decree not to have children, despite the decree to kill the boys, and despite the depression and the torture and the exhaustion of their husbands. You know the story of with the mirrors, of women would go out to the fields with the mirrors and actually play with their husbands in order to revive them and remember that there is life outside of this torturous, heavy duty avoda that they were doing out in the drive. And they had the women still had the initiative and the strength and the emunah that we shouldn't have to keep on having children. And then there was, you know, Shifra and Pua, the midwives, who risked their lives to keep delivering children despite an ordinance from Paro's staff, and they kept going. There was Miriam and the story that we talked about before of Miriam and her parents, of her convincing them to remarry to continue having children. And then, you know, on and on, the women who brought their symbols with them on the Yitzias Mitzrayim. You know, the last thing you think of the bringing with you is that they having six children at once, get children and all the things that they're taking, the diapers, whatever, you know. And there they're worrying about their symbols, and it's this incredible strength. And at the end of the day, it says that in the scope of the women, will have the Geula. So what, I was thinking about this woman and their role in the world, and how does a woman today bring about the Geula? What is her role, her strength, her foot? If these four kosos are the imaho, I'm going to jump a little bit more. So in the kosos, the wine in the kosos has to be red. Okay, that's supposed to be red is the first choice. Now, if this red is a dome color, I'm refreshing to it, because I'll bring down that it represents different things. But one of the things that it represents is the red blood that was put, the blood that was Hashem asked us to put around the doors on the mezuzahs and the mishkan, the lintel and the post, around the doors of each home in Israel. And this way, we would be saved. It says in Shmos Parashat Pasuk HaGimel, it says, Rav Hashem bin Gof of Mitzrayim, the Ra'at Hadam al Mishkot al Shtei Mezuzot, the Pesach Hashem al HaPesach. It says Hashem wants to pass over the destruction of Mitzrayim, the plague of Mitzrayim, and he did this by he saw that the blood was on the Mishkot and on the Shtei Mezuzot, the lintel and the post of the door, and Pesach Hashem al HaPesach, and he passed over the Pesach, the opening, and this is passed over, and the whole name of Pesach is directed to passing over the houses. There's so much that goes on in Pesach, and we're talking about the passing over of the house as the end of the name of the holiday, and passing over each help each household, each family. Now, it didn't have to be this way. He could have just made marks on each person. He could have said, put some blood on your shoulder, the blood on your forehead, put some... He could have done some, just a million different things. Everybody should leave the city. Why? Why? Yes. You know, it could be done any way at all. So, but if we say this way, then Hashem is telling us something very, very important. There's a message in it. There's some deeper Indian here. And one of the things that I'm talk about is the chashivas of the household, of the family. You know, we spend all these weeks cleaning this house from top to bottom, eradicating every piece of hummus, every drawer, every behind the radiators, the windowsills, and the clothes, and our pockets, and every single place where we're focused, those details. But it's in this house, in the house. Right? We're in the house. So the kosos of the imahos, the yayin is the blood of the doorpost of the home. And the interesting thing is that a woman is really called the bayis. The Gemara brings down, at the opening Mishnah, describing the Kohen Gadol's service in Yom Kippur, in Masechet Yoma, it describes that the Kohen Gadol has to give different karbanos on that day. And the first karbanos it starts with is himself and his family. It says, the kapar ba'ado, uba'ad beiso. And so he has the first kapar he has to bring for himself and for his family. And then it says right there in Mishnah, Beto zu ishto. His house is his wife. His wife, the woman, represents the house. She really is the house. And if you look at Pesach carefully, we see how so much of the Pesach is based on the concept of family, of household and family, of the home. For example, the carbon Pesach has to be registered by the family beforehand. If you could not, the whole time, whenever the carbon Pesach, from the first time until all the time that we had the Beit HaMikdash, over the years, every family had to register their korban with the people who were going to be eating that korban. And if there's someone who was outside the household and wanted to be included, he had to be included beforehand. It had to be a registered household. So, and each family had their own set, and you know, their own sheep or whatever the carbon was, and they ate the carbon of the family. And you see this rhyme, they actually had to bring that stuff, you know, into their house, and they tied it to the bedpost. And you can imagine, okay, that's, you know, and that was their problem, that was their idol, right? You bring it in, you know? So bring it in there, in their house. No, you didn't keep it in the yard. Right? You didn't keep it out in the field, you brought it into your house. And so Tamukriyas Yansuf, and you see this rhyme, they went out of family into the larger context of Shvatim. The Yansuf, it says, the letter springs down, the Yansuf opened up into 12 columns, each for a Shevet, and each family was in that Shevet column. And we saw, she's this beautiful book that I saw on the plane from America to Eretz Israel. You remember? You had this beautiful booklet on all the Midrashim of everything that happens in Kriyas Yamsu. Like you can put your glass in and water can out of the wall, or like cobblestone, like with like diamonds or jeweled cobblestones. It's incredible. You know? Great.
Did you tell Prince
Yeah, beautiful. Right? And this school that is coming is going to be even much greater than you can imagine. Right, you got to tip an iceberg. Then the Mishkan itself and the encampment around it, as we know, was done by Shvati. The families within each Shevet had their own ohel, but they were camped within each Shevet and surrounded the Mishkan. And the counting in the Midbar later, it says, "Umishpachtam v'deit avosam," and later on it says, "Vityaldu al mishpachtam," which means that they were counted by family. And so "Vityaldu," it means that Chazal say that each came with their identity card, with some kind of information, either ketubah of parents,
ketubah
of parents. It was their ketubah saying, "I belong to such family." Has belonged to such and such family. And that identifies and defines their role, their number, their position in class realm. And all of this was based on the concept of family, which eventually, and from that structure, which eventually determined their makom and areas of growth. And our makom later on will also be told back to us eventually, where we belong in areas of growth. So basically, the summary of this part of
the...
And there were 70 individuals, it says, that went down to Mitzrayim. I always talked about the 70 individuals. But then we came out as a people. Right? We came out as a nation, as a people. And the birth of the people was by homes. Am Yisrael is a nation of families. And it's not a side issue. It's not like, oh, something extra. It's the context in which we were born as a nation. There's some reason that it has to be within this format. And if we look at Leil Seder itself, it tells us the same thing, the importance of the family. Everything is based on genealogy and family. The Haggadah is really darshaning, I don't know if you know this, on a few psukim from Kisavo. It takes a pasuk or part of a pasuk, it darshans. It starts out with who we really came from. And it ends with a whole concept of Eisacha and the home and the family. If you go through it, that's what it is. And the focus on the Haggadah itself is telling over to children. To remind and describe Zephi, Tiet, Mitzrayim, Manishan, four sons, Chag, and Gut, and the Chagadya, Zabin, Abba. Okay, we're always in this. And if you look at Pesach, which is actually the first holiday in chronology of history, okay, in terms of for the Yidden, and it starts with the family, the last holiday is Hanukkah in chronology. Hanukkah sets off, launches Galus Adam. We're in Galus Adam. That was actually chronologically the last event that created a Chag. Okay? As an established Chag. And the main part about Hanukkah was that they tried to destroy the family purity. And that was one of the first things they did. It took actually the doors off the houses.
Someone wants to talk about, like, even the national Hitler. They banged the door down and they came in. They didn't expect you to not have a door. That never existed in history, that they expected you to live without doors so they could just invade the privacy without bothering them.
Yeah. And the goal of that was to destroy our family, our privacy. So I want to look at just for a little bit, what is the kind of the chashivas, the meaning of family or household? And when I talk about, to look more deeply, understand the woman's role in it or certain aspects of it. But before I say this, I want to say that I'm using this as a context. But the context of family and household is very broad. And as we develop it, in a few minutes we're going to see that it's very expansive in Yiddishkeit. Because there are, within Christ's realm, there are all different kinds of people. There are great people who had a bias without the classic family structure. So, for example, the Chazon Ish never had children, right? Rav Ritson Kolasterman never had children. Amuka, Rav... You understand Ben Uziel? He never married. Okay? He never married.
That's
right, Ben Luka, because he sent all daughters to people to get married. Sarah Schneer, who started the Beit Yaakov, she was divorced, but her whole time of building the Beit Yaakov, to build women, was she was going from a place of being alone, but she was a bais in and of herself, and we'll go into this as we go through this. So the classic family is not exactly in Yiddishkeit, you know, such a structured definition, but it's the idea of where they get to is the internal place of what a bais is, whether it's internal to ourselves or internal as a bais, a household, an actual house, and it goes on. Shevet, Klai Yisrael as a bais, etc. So whether one lives in the bais, or many lives in the bais, the soul of the bais will see. So why did Hashem designate the bais as the basis, the foundation, and the basis of Klai Yisrael? So to look at a thing like, what, a thing, what is family? And what about this structure allows the development of a yid and of a nation? Because we're the Garen. The Garen don't have family anymore after that.
No, it's also like, it was a big goal for Titus, though. Right? We are saying, that a person would say, there's a certain thing about it. It's a father, mother, and 2.5 children. And a daughter, right? That's how
America.
America's with 1.3 children. Maybe it's 0.3 children. Who knows all this now? But that, if you would say, the Christ or it's the crown of so many years, amen, as well. I thought it was also as idea that people, whoever they are, should have the idea of life. Doesn't matter where they came from, what their physical stature is, when they started, where they started, how they became part of Christ. Like somebody said to me, my father, or something, said, to me, Papa Jesus, they said, are you closer to Veritas Bamavino?
Are you what?
Closer to Veritas Bamavino than I am. And people talk about vehicles. And then I realized one time, you know, the only people that are close to me than I am, are Jesus, because they're direct descendants.
They're Ben Abraham,
I'm a great-great-great-great-grandchild. They're direct descendants. Isn't that amazing? It's an interesting thing.
But people don't feel that way.
What? Well, but it's true. But that's the truth. Again, it's supposed to be better to have more children than we are.
People, you know, like when you think of the Sheva, like, you know, who could repeat someone about Sheva to someone and like, you think that's very complimentary.
No, obviously.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
before
today,
more than it
was back in the day.
Right, my husband told me.
And this
Gare is from Holland, and there's another older Gare who never got married, and he left his, he's very, very rich. He left all his money to this Gare, it's this Gare's son. He went to the Gare
now,
that's
the married. His mother was there at the wedding.
So the idea that but just to look at the bias and what is, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this concept of bias and what it does for Klai Yisrael, for human beings, what it does. So the first 18, 20 years are shaped in some kind, hopefully, not always the case, of the family. So there's two parts, there's two things that are happening within the family structure. First, it creates a sense of belonging. And in that sense of belonging, you're part of a larger whole. And that whole line, if you will, is that you become part of a whole, you belong to something, you're subjugating yourself to a cloud. In fact, it's interesting, the word mishpacha, that is embedded in it is the word shivka, subjugation.
Oh,
but
great.
There's some, but not in a negative way, not in a negative way, in a way of being responsible to something, of being part of something. And attached to something, bonded to something. And it teaches that a person is a part of a society with rules, responsibilities, commitments, and healthy, hopefully, interaction with other people, with the group. And that's whole, one whole part of being raised within the family. The second part is developing individuality. The family structure of I'm talking about a healthy, ideal life. It can allow one's individual place and uniqueness to develop. When a person is recognized as an individual within that family and looked at, then their inner chashivas can grow. It's a place to grow and develop one's traits, inner values, morals, strengths, recognize weaknesses and learn how to work on them, develop special potential. This is a recognition by the family towards that individual. And this is... this is the gift of what family should do, can do, to a human being. And how to do this is creating the balance between these two aspects. By making the bias a place of protection, a place of nurturing, warmth, love, and at the same time, infusing values, responsibilities, rules, commitment into that human being. And so basically, a healthy family can build one, individual and self-confidence, their ability to be strong, feel connected, part of family love, and they also build self-confidence, responsibility, and value. Real self-discipline, which is one of the greatest gifts one can give to a human being in this world. So these two sides are what's building from a family. Now, an unhealthy family, as we know, it can be like a fire. One aspect is no protection, no nurturing, no support, no love, no guidance, and, or worse, on the other side is abuse. There's the other type of, the other extreme is, for example, over-family. At the expense of the individual, everything is the family. For example, mafia. You know, like, mafia is like, this is the best. You know, we are the best. We are at expense of any individual and of any other family having any other type of kashifas in the world. Just like individual to individual. You know, that person can't be as great as me, or, you know, I'm better than that person. The same thing, my family is better than that family. And that's like the over-family, the over-structure of the family. And then the other aspect is, which exists today, is like no family, which is, for example, the communist movement or the kibbutz movement. No family. In the kibbutz, children are immediately put into...
Not anymore
because they realize what it happened.
For 4 years.
Right. But
yeah,
the idea
was,
and each group lives, for example, a 16-year-old, a 15-year-old, 12-year-old, a 12-year-old. So the individual building was not there. Everybody was in a group without any act of the same age. There was no recognition of the individual. And you can look at it, for example, communism, one child family. Okay, on the other hand, there's a one child family. Everything was one child. For example, and now, Mao Zedong in the communist China had a one child family. One reason was to stop the population explosion, but the other was is the idea of just having this, it's destroying family structure. You have one child, that child grows up and marries another single child. There are no aunts and uncles and family, right? There's just siblings. So,
an individual. The child is married to the government.
But the truth is, there's no individual because everything was the government. The same time, everything was wiping that out. And so I want to go back to the idea of that healthy family, of that healthy bias. And woman is being the, a woman, as we know, is the primary center of this, the primary creator of this bias, of a healthy bias. And she creates this atmosphere of the place. Now, as I said earlier, a woman is called the bias. We said the Kohen Gadol in Masechet Yoma says that the woman is the bias. He says, based on, she creates this nourishing, loving, supportive, guiding home, base, like a base. And from this home place, everyone goes out into the world, out to school, out to learn, out to work, out to the marketplace, out to shop, out to life. And they interact with the world and then return back into this home that the woman has laid the foundation of. And this place is hopefully a place of accepting love, warmth, a place you want to go back to, a place you want to get nourished from. And if the foundations of this bias are strong, quote-unquote bias, then you can move outward without danger, without absorbing so much the negativity of the external world. And you can cope with the world's externalities. You can cope with the isms of the world, materialism, you know, philosophyism, all the isms, because a person can be raised strong because they have this bias. On the other hand, if the foundations are weak, then a person can't cope externally. They can't be strong outside, and they drag the shmutz also back into the home. And so they don't let it go. Now, a woman can build these foundations, this home, as we said in the beginning of the four imachos that gave us these foundations. They created the kedusha, the shechina, they pulled the shechina into their home. And this creates a stability in which to live, which to move, to work. Now, the interesting thing about this is that the self and the world is the same aspect of this. In other words, each family core prepares one to interact in the world. I think what Brooke was to say, Brooke is that you're not here to raise children, you're here to raise healthy adults. That's the purpose of a person. And often, when we're searching for comments, what it does, it takes time and focus to do this. When you search comments, you have to have the time, you have to have the focus to look for every single morsel of comments all over. Now, loving others takes exactly the same thing, time and focus. It takes time to notice another, who another is, what their behavior is, what they're like, and to focus on them, and time to love them, to give to them. And so this is the same quality. In fact, you see in the four sons of the Haggadah, the Chacham, the Rasha, all the four sons, and it says, listen to them, what is their question? You have to hear their actual question, and then respond accordingly. This takes time and focus to know each person in your household's personality, their strengths, their weaknesses. It takes time and energy and focus to know how to guide them accordingly. And then the time to do so, to actually put it into place, to implement it. As they say, love is not, like, quote unquote, falling in love. Love is actually, like Rebecca says, giving, the act of doing it. The act of actually doing it. And this works on another deeper level. As we said before, each person in and of themselves is a bias. And we have to, each person is also their own family. And each person holds his own bias. Bias affects the group often. Often our group is called our bias. And each of us has to provide a place within ourselves of love, nurturing, purity, fiducia, warmth, a supportive inner place that we understand our own selves. So, for example, to know yourself, know what you need to nourish yourself, to guide yourself. Like it says that at one point in his life, Shlomo HaMelech was a medrash that brings down that he was without a kingdom. And it's a long story, I'm not going to go into it, but he was without his kingdom. Someone else, something else, had taken over his kingdom, and he was alone in the woods with him and his staff. And it says the real test there was he a melech over his staff, over himself. Not with the Amalek over Klai Israel, not with the Amalek over all of at that time the greatest Amalek in the world. People came from all over the world to ask him advice. But could he be Amalek over himself? Was he his own vice? And each of us has a need for this inner place from which we move out into the world and interact. Just like the vice of the family, people go out of the family, out of the house, to interact. We each have our own inner place, and then we interact from that inner place. And we have to keep a protected inner domain that always has to remain intact, and a bias inside, and a place in which we nourish. And so you can call it all different things, the pencil we have, whatever you want to call it, it's the point that is safe. And from that point, we go to direct and guide our own selves, the internal loving nourishing place. It's something called the pencil again, you know, your place. And out of that love comes the self-discipline. That's where the love, the internal loving, nurturing place can then give self-discipline. It's like Yitzchak comes from Abraham, right? Abraham, you know, is Ish Chesed. And Yitzchak is Ish Gevura of the self-discipline. So the inner place is that place of love. When the Kaddish Baruch Hu created the world, he created it out of love. And then he wants us to have self-discipline to continue interacting in this world and bring that love into this world. But it starts from this place of love. That's the reason the Kaddish Baruch Hu made the world was out of love. And we say in the Shema, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem. And the Hashem is the Rachamim, the love part. Elokeinu is the discipline part. But it's surrounded with the love. It's really, really based in love. And it's not like the glory is not like in the guidance, the self-discipline, it's not like beating yourself up in the head to be good. It's not like, you know, I'm going to be good, I'm going to be good, I'm going to be good, or, you know, do this. It's like, it's from a love to be great, to be honorable, to be the best we can be. And from that place, you want to be great, you want to change your actions, you want to lift yourself up, not like beating down to the ground, the opposite. And it's just what you want to do to a friend, to your husband, to a child, to anyone in the world. Do it from a place like they say, Gadolim, you know, you need a Gadol, a Gadol, and you walk in and you see him shining love and light. You walk out, feel like, you know, you stand taller. You don't stand shorter, slumped. You stand taller. You walk out feeling uplifted, greater, and then you don't want to do something wrong because you saw the greatness, like, and you feel greater. Like they give something of their love and chashivas over to you. That's what they do when you see a Salam Elohim. You feel their Salam Elohim. So it's interesting. I just want to share one story that this idea of a bias. There was a period of time that I was living in Brooklyn in a basement apartment as a single woman with a roommate, whatever. It took a long time living in that basement. And every Thursday, and I used to teach, and Thursday afternoon, after teaching, I went with a friend to visit an elderly woman named Rivka, and she was never married. She was from Egypt. She was born in Egypt, and they escaped, and she was a teenager, 17, 18 years old. And they got out, and they made their way to Europe and finally to America. And she never married, and she had one brother who was not well. And so she was basically alone, and she was in his home, and I used to live in a Thursday night. This was one of the highlights of my week. She didn't talk very much, but her being was so loving. What she emanated was just this loving, calm, inner peace, tranquility, and we just sit there. We would, I don't know, take a hill and talk a little bit, not talk, just sit there. My friend and I and her. And she was just,
she
grew up, in Egypt, from girl, but she lost everything as a young, teenager when she had to leave. But I always felt like during those years, she was one of the major vibes of mine. She was like my vibe, but I would go there and feel like I'd gone to home, and then I would go continue back in the rest of my week, the rest of the world. She was like a vibe to me. She didn't have a home, she was in an old age home, but she was a vibe. And this is the idea of of creating a vibe, of a woman can't create in the world. It doesn't have to necessarily be in the bias, but that is the structure that Coach Barker gave us. And he said it puts the dam on the lintels and the mashkof on the lintel and the side post of the door to protect the family, the bias. And from that bias, we move out into the world. And that's a place of protection, of nurturing. And I just want to take an extra little piece here because how fascinating it is that this concept manifests itself in the yearly cycle, and it's how Kadosh Baruch Hu bridges the yearly cycle with the spiritual cycle. Pesach is this transition place. So I'm going to backtrack a little bit just to explain this concept a little bit, and then we'll bring the two together with our Hashem. The year, is that we have the summer, fall, winter, spring. Now the summer, and it's pieces of the spring, pieces of the fall, are really the time of trees, blossoms, sun, long day, short night. Right? And the winter, is Pesach. Long night, short day, cold, and more trees look like they're dead, and animals are hibernating, you don't have all these bugs and things around, right? So everything, the flowers, everything's kind of more internalized. And really, the trees are supposed to sleep more during the winter than we used to when we didn't have electricity only the last 100 years. Not even 8 years, it doesn't really change. That, you had your candles, and when after nightfall, you didn't use up all your candles, a few hours, and you had to sleep. You had many more hours of sleep. Many more hours of being inside. We didn't have heated places everywhere. People went home. They stayed in the house. They were focused internally. And we see it, animals hibernate in the winter. Winter is really more integrated, more contracted, and internalized. summer is more external, extroverted, interactive, expansive. And these are the two different components that the Kodesh Baruch Hu created for a reason. There's a reason for this. And the same thing with night and day, just in the cycle of a day represents the same thing. The Jewish day starts with evening night, okay, in which it's sleeping, internal, within ourselves. And then we go out to the day to interact, to be with others, etc., etc. So when you think about this now, is that Pesach represents this transition from the winter into spring. And it says that we have to, the year, the cycle, there's 12 days off in the solar cycle versus the lunar cycle. So that we have to add every few years another Chodesh. We have this year, Chodesh Adar is added. Right, there's a second Adar day. Why? That's a whole other issue, but this idea of Hashem put free will into man to make this transition between the spiritual and the physical. But why? It says because we have to have Chodesh, we have to have Pesach in the spring. Not like, you know, the Ramadan can be at any time of year, whatever. Like they just keep going. They only have, actually, the solar calendar. Okay, and the Christians only use the lunar calendar. That's another interesting thing. But anyway, we bridge the two together, solar and lunar. And how do we do that? By adding to this month. It's just a man is meant to be in between this piece, in the Tapa and in the spiritual. Man looks the two together by adding this extra Kodesh.
But don't the Christians use the solar calendar? Or and the Mohammedans use the lunar? Or is Yeshua?
They choose one.
Right, they use, I'm sorry, you said it backwards. They use the lunar, and the Christians use the solar, right.
Right.
So basically, this Pesach, what is the reason Pesach has to be in the spring? So why is this so crucial that we do all this because Pesach has to be in the spring? Right? All this extra Kodesh and the time and this and that, because what happens in the spring, we see this incredible blossoming. Suddenly everything turns into movement. And we know that Pesach was in a second. They got in Mitzrayim second. Move. No time to think. Monsters, let's go. There's a movement from internal to external that happens in the springtime. We go out from our homes, out from this internal place, into the world, into interacting. And just like the idea of the family, the womb of the family, which is the house, the bite, is from which part we go out into the world. From that loving, internal, warm place, but then Hashem wants us out in the world. He wants us to go and be and do and interact. And same thing with night and today. He wants us to have that time, and it says our neshama to connect to Him in the night, right? That's why we watch in the morning. It's part of our soul goes back up to Shemayim. Hashem wants us to then take what He has given us during that night, whenever our soul is connected to Shemayim, and then go out into the world, use it, interact, go, do. And just like the womb, it's exactly like the womb. There's 9 months in this womb, right? There's 9 months in this internal place where they say the mother is giving, nourishing this child, loving warmth. And it's interesting, I just read a study that talks about how much effect the woman has over the child's future, long-range future. They will become an adult, based on what the woman does during her pregnancy, what she listens to, what she eats, what she smells, pollution, whatever is going on, has such an incredible effect on her, on this later on adult child. But the idea that then the child comes out, it's interesting that Yitzchak was actually a 6.5-month baby. He was conceived at Rosh Hashanah and born in Pesach. But that was this is the first quote-unquote Jewish child, right, Yitzchak. Okay, and so his life models this Teva of the world that Kodesh Baruch Hu created. The idea of moving from the summer, conception, in through the winter in this fetal state, closed inside the womb, and then comes out of spring. Comes out into the world in spring. And, yeah?
And the truth is, maybe we can answer it, but they're both right, because
one answer is that if he plans it in this year, the whole thing, like the whole Israeli planning something is really, but it is really the Ikar, and that we actually brought creation into being on Nisan. And I think it should connect everything you're saying.
It's a beautiful chazal. I don't remember what it is and where it's from, but it says that just as it was conception, and we think of like a project, just to conceive it and plan it and work it, you know, work out the blueprint. But then the birth is when it actually starts to work. So start with the birth of the idea, the birth of the conception, then there's the actual birth, which is the Nisan birth, Rosh Hashanah birth, and the idea is that Rosh Hashanah, you know, we sit there in Ella making all these goals and plans, right? And we're going to do it, or we're going to prove ourselves. And we have this winter, okay? It's supposed to be internal winter. We work hard ourselves, thinking, what are we going to do? What, you know, and how is it going to, like, work it out? Like, working internal, for example, you want to work on Chesed or Gevur or whatever it is. So you need that time to figure out a plan, you know, and to work it internally. And then you go out and do it. When you go out and actually go out into the world and actualize.
And it's such a, you might say, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it that way? And it's such a lesson to us that the planning is really the Ikar. An architect has a planning night, and that follows, you know, the Meister just follows, but the Ikar is really the planning.
They're both. They're both as, but you need that planning first, and you need that thinking and working out, just like if you would deal with a child, right, or deal with another person. So you have to think, what does this child need? What does this student need? What does this friend need? You have to work out what's their issue, what's the problem, how can I help? And then, you know, and then it's putting into play.
Man was created on the substitution, so if you say that it was imported, it can't be, or maybe the other way around. So
the
what I'm saying is that I've seen it written that the answer is that it was the claiming was on Tishrei, and the actual Bria was on Nisan. And you're asking, how could that be if we celebrate Rosh Hashanah as the Bria? Because the Ika really is the conception. The conception is the Ika.
And when
it's
spring, what it takes off, okay, that's where it springs. Right? They say the actual Chagim were already in place before the world was created.
Right.
So, you know, Pesach was there. We have to make sure that spring meets Pesach, not the other way around. So the other aspect that I want to mention about this idea of Pesach is that this the Ikar of Pesach, as we know, is love of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the love of Hashem. We reach here in Shirim of Pesach. The Ikar of this place, of this moving out to the world, it comes from a place of love. Just like the home is a place of love, and we move out into the world from a place of love. So that's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem loved us, and He loved Klal Yisrael. And so that's why He gave us, He gave us His throne. That's when He put us into the world to work, to direct, to do. And we you know, the opposite way, like we learn it in Esther and Amalek, that, you know, that Klal Yisrael, we said before, when they were stuck in the desert, and they were complaining about food and water, and they distorted the view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring it to her. Said that, oh, Hashem was on the throne, so He hated us. We wanted to destroy us here in Midbar. It's the opposite, that Hashem loves us. The idea of Pesach is that it's the holiday of Ahava and Makar Katov. And the whole Havada is all about the Ahava and Makar Katov that we have towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reminding us of our miracle, reminding us of Ahava Hashem loves us. And from this place, from Pesach, really focusing on Pesach, on that love of the Kodesh Baruch Hu towards each individual, and then the woman's love that she puts into her family, into her friends, into her husband, and into her chavra, into the world, from that we can move out into the world. And every detail that we're cleaning, you know, every molecule, knowing that Hashem fills every molecule, every place with His love. And we're cleaning out any doubt in that area. We're cleaning out any doubt of His love for us. Starting, you know, under, you know, behind that radiator, in that pocket. Hashem is in every little place, and it's His love for us, because He wants us to go out and accomplish in the world, and do and grow and be. and maximize who we are. And just as we want those around us to do the same thing. And on the prince's shoulder, so they could tell him all to move out of New Orleans and anything. So this is the dam of the bias. I'm going to protect each bias. And that's where the upper control goes. It's emphasizing the idea of bias in the internal harmony. That's what I'm going to do. You know, out there cleaning. I'm going to look at cleaning. Mm-hmm. And you're
making a break as well.
But one has to realize that when one is cleaning, it does make the children a cold and taste breakfast. and second of all, what you're doing it for, this is like a spiritual thing, you know, you get so tired and so edgy and you're screaming at everybody. So what's the whole point? Like yesterday I was folding laundry, and on Thursday I also folded laundry. It was so much laundry, I couldn't understand. I got so much laundry. And, then after I was about to, you know, put away something, I said, oh, I have the laundry, I have this to fold for, but I have to think until I got there. This is also the path of cleaning. You have to think, what are you doing? Why are you doing it?
That's
why I
already
do
not.
None
of
it is
what was it?